Good afternoon and welcome. This is a special hybrid commission meeting of March 22, 2022. During this meeting, the City Commission is physically present in the Commission Chamber at Miami Beach City Hall. Public is encouraged to attend the meeting virtually. However, you also are allowed to attend in person at the Commission Chamber. To participate virtually during the Commission meeting, you can join the meeting in the following ways. I'm going to go over that in a second. So have a pen and paper if you're at home because the numbers and IDs are sort of long. You can go to zoom.us or you can do it by telephone at the following numbers. The second I'll repeat twice. 301-715-8592 or toll free 888-475-4499. The webinar ID number, and I'll repeat it, is 813-928-5767 pound. That's 813-928-5767 pound, and that will get you onto the Zoom. I don't expect to really have any public comment. This is not a public hearing, but you can, of course, watch this proceeding on Zoom. All right, so let's get to the Pledge of Allegiance. Digna, lead us in the pledge, please. Our Vice Chief.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. All right, Mr. Clerk, we have any announcements?
No, sir.
All right, so members, everybody knows why we're here. So I'm not even going to talk a whole lot. I'm just going to turn it over to Alina, but just so the public knows, our city manager is going to sort of explain to us her recommendations with regard to a curfew that we all know is going into effect Thursday. I think she has the ability to do it for 72 hours, which would bring it to Sunday, but not the following day, not Sunday night. And so she's going to talk about why she's recommending it, and then we're going to be able to decide whether we give her the authority to extend it past the 72 hours, which she has without us even voting. Mm-hmm. So with that, let's get this meeting going. And Alina, I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank you for your work on this. Obviously, the community is very grateful. So why don't you tell us what you'd like us to approve?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And it's, you know, with great pain, both personal and professional, that I'm here today asking you to approve this curfew as a last resort, as a crowd control measure, as an opportunity to be able to limit and to protect not only our public, our tourists, our residents, and everyone who visits our city, but really to be able to protect all of the operational people that we have on the streets of the city of Miami Beach, including our law enforcement, our first responders, our code enforcement folks, our park rangers, our, you know, every single person that does enforcement, including, by the way, some of your leadership that is out every single weekend dealing with the issues that we've dealt with after what we believe has been 6 months of really extensive planning enhanced, and all of you have been incredibly supportive in terms of really allowing me to have the financial resources to be able to provide the level of resource required, enhanced police, enhanced code enforcement, enhanced parking enforcement, enhanced park ranger. Despite all of that, our reality is that this past weekend we had two shootings back-to-back on two nights in the middle of a massive crowd. And so it is, again, with great respect and a lot of, you know, a lot of discussion amongst our staff that we have and we recommend that we implement a curfew starting this Thursday night through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night within a restricted area. We believe that the reason that it works in this restricted area and that it's important that it be in this area is very specific to what we have seen in this area. We can certainly have our police chief and our fire chief speak to our level of response, our calls to service, and what we experience in this area. But the reality is that, again, despite all of the planning, all of the enhanced enforcement, all of the coordination with multiple agencies, 80 additional Miami-Dade police officers supporting us here this weekend. Everything that we've done with the businesses, with the Miami, the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau, all of our programming, everything that we did and the wonderful 3 weekends that we had with concerts, you know, that allowed so many of our residents and visitors to enjoy our beautiful beaches. We have a situation and we have a crowd control issue throughout this portion of our city that makes it very difficult, if not impossible, to manage and to patrol. As I've said, and for the record, it's important that the record be clear, we've had 2 shootings. We had over 6 incidents involving guns being shot and fired and our police department finding casings. We had 9 separate incidents where we had officers injured. We've had a complete, you know, situation where every law enforcement officer that's out there finds a crowd that's disrespectful, that's difficult to manage, and it's really a complete compliment to the amazing wisdom and training of our police officers that we haven't had an incident that has escalated beyond anything that we've witnessed and that we've been able to manage the volume of crowd, not only in all of our public spaces, on our beach, on Loomis Park. Let me reiterate for the record, Loomis Park, 14, 15 blocks of public space, public park. Very difficult circumstances, very difficult crowd, very difficult circumstances to manage. With that, I am asking that we impose a curfew this weekend, starting on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, into Monday. The parameters and the perimeter that I'm recommending is on the north end, 23rd Street, on the south end, South Point Park, on the east, the ocean, and on the west, the bay. And we believe that that will significantly help our police department be able to control the situation that we saw this past weekend. We have no reason to believe, and we all wish that we had a magical solution and that we had a crystal ball into the future. We have no reason to believe that the crowds that we're expecting this weekend are going to be any different than the volume of the crowd that we saw last weekend. And we have music festivals in town. We have a significant impact to our daily rate and our capacity and our hotel. And we know that we're going to have crowds this weekend. So it is my responsibility to protect this city. And I've done everything within my power for the last 6 months to prepare for 6 weeks of spring break. And 6 weeks of spring break takes a significant toll on our resources. This is not one weekend. This is 6 weekends of consistent and 6 weeks of consistent enforcement. And it has taken a very huge toll on our resources. It's taken a very huge toll. There's no A team and B team and C team. It is the same exact people. It is the same exact level of supervision. It is all the same people providing that level of support 24/7, 7 days a week.
All right. Okay, let's start. And Chief, why don't you come up here, because the questions may come to you or to our manager, Commissioner Samuelin.
Thank you, Mayor. This situation is incredibly troubling. Our residents are justifiably upset, angry, and scared. I was in my gym this morning talking to one of my residents, and he was afraid. So we all are very, very upset about this situation. You know, we were off to a reasonable start with spring break with a tough hand, but frankly, we just ended up with too many people and too much misbehaving, and we have to take action. So my headline, and I do have a few specifics, but I will support the manager's recommendation today. Our professionals, our public safety team is telling us this is what we need to do. Public safety is job one for us. I've always been someone that wants to do everything possible to keep our community safe. This is a dramatic step. I wish like heck we weren't here having this conversation, but given the facts, I do believe we need to do it, and I will be supporting the recommendation from the manager. I do have a few questions, if I might, and Chief, I'm glad you're there. Appreciate your service, your team, who are on the front lines for us. You know, we're in the resource business. That's what we do. Do you, in the police department, need additional resources at this point to address the situation?
Mr. Mayor, members of the commission, Madam Manager, once again, good afternoon. Rick Clemens, Chief of Police. Commissioner, thank you for asking the question. I will tell you that up until this weekend, I think that my police department has performed above expectations of whatever we could do, we could possibly do. The numbers that we put out there, the tactics that we used, I think were exemplary. What the crowds that we saw this year, what they brought to it, to us as a challenge, was crowds that I think exceeded the numbers that we had last year, especially on Friday night. We had a large number of people that were there. And moreover, it cost at one point in time for us to have to cease traffic on the street as well. But it opened back up. We created gridlock at one point on Fifth Street, and we were able to go ahead and we were able to defuse that. But we did it with every available person that we had within the police department to do so. As the manager clearly said, we had 80 officers from Miami-Dade out here, not only uniform, but also undercover as well. So when you look at the distribution, we had 371 officers out here on Friday, 326 officers out here on Saturday during the course of the day, with the bulk of those officers being here at night. If you look at the incident that occurred, the shooting that occurred on Saturday night, you can see at least a minimum of 10 officers that were within probably 10 to 15 feet of the shooting when it occurred. It's not a lack of resources. Now, we could have 500 officers out here. I still think that the challenges would be overwhelming with the number of firearms that we've seen on the street, and more importantly, the challenges that we have associated with crowds this size. I appreciate the offer. Again, Miami-Dade has been more than forthcoming with giving us everything that we've asked for, to including additional officers on Friday and Saturday nights to be able to deal with what we thought was going to be a busy night, and it was. But for the most part, I think we could use more help. But where are we going to get it from? I mean, again, Miami-Dade has issues that they have within their own jurisdictions that they're trying to deal with as well. City of Miami is dealing with the issues with their municipality. And again, we've exhausted all means that we have within our power in order to be able to make this to go well. We're at a stage right now where we need more. We need to do yet even more. I'm at my wit's end trying to figure out how to be able to deal with this crowd, with the numbers that are here, and with what we're encountering, during the policing of this particular event.
Thank you for that. You mentioned the cars, and I've been not shy about my view that mm-hmm. cars running in the middle of all this isn't necessarily the optimal approach. And I know some of my colleagues have a different view, and I respect that. But do we still think, given what's happening, having a lane of traffic, is that helping the cause?
It does. And I'll tell you why, because for most of the weekend, we were able to run cars, southbound on Ocean Drive. It's able to keep the crowds in the park and on the sidewalk. My concern is that the crowds become too dense in particular areas. And we already saw what the effects were with someone who walked into a crowd with a firearm and randomly shot at people. We're so lucky that there wasn't a more significant loss of life associated with both these events, because they were random. The people that were injured as a result of this had nothing to do with any kind of confrontation at all, but were basically in the wrong place at the wrong time. And again, my heart goes out to not only them, but their families that have to deal with this issue. And I wish there could have been something more that we could have done that prevented it. But unfortunately, I think that we did all that we could at that time, and the individuals that performed this or did this act had little to no regard for anything around them other than what they wanted to do, which was to discharge the weapon.
No, that's absolutely the case. And, my line of questioning here is related to the next couple weeks, but also Memorial Day, which is, not too far away. So just a couple other questions. A lot of the people came in cars, and if you come in a car, you got to park somewhere, garage, maybe in that entertainment area, or maybe in a residential area. So I guess my question to the manager or someone on your team is about parking. Can we do anything to sort of reduce the scope of parking, either by limiting garage access, stricter enforcement in residential areas? Is that something we could look into?
And I think, and I'm sure Monica is here and she can address that. Again, we have a history of doing that. We have a history of managing our garages. We have a history of Memorial Day weekend in particular of managing. All of that is a balance and I think an evolution, because this goes on for 6 weeks. And we want our businesses to be vibrant. We want, people to be here and be able to enjoy. So we've been very cautious in terms of what we've restricted, because we respect our businesses and because we prefer to have people parked rather rather than driving around and driving around and driving around and looking for a place to go, that creates, that adds to the congestion and that adds to the problem. As it relates to the specific implementation of the curfew, we have had conversations operationally, and we intend to close the garage at a specific hour to prevent, again, and to prepare for the curfew and to prepare for the implementation of the curfew. I don't know if that answers your question specifically, but
no, that's helpful, Madam Manager. And it's always a balance, given that we're in this emergency and we're about to do what we want. That tells me to tilt the balance a little. That would be my inclination. And I wonder, Monica, thank you for what you're doing. Could we step up enforcement of parking in some of the residential areas? Are there anecdotal reports that some of the folks are parking and then parting? Could we do even more in that area, given the emergency we got?
So typically during holidays or peak times, we increase enforcement of residential zones, in particular for Mingo Park, but we will do even more.
Okay. I think that would be helpful. Last question.
Commissioner, I will tell you that on Friday night, it was so bad that Monica personally and I were out there on the street, and Rick, I was in a golf cart with Rick, and Monica personally was walking up and down the street doing enforcement herself with her team.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and that's wonderful hands-on efforts. And a number of my colleagues, like myself, were out there, and we saw it. One of my observations was that noise contributes to the environment. It's just loud, and it's, you know, some noise is good, but too much noise looks like it creates a little bit of chaos. I know that's tough from an enforcement standpoint, but is there anything we could do related to noise?
Hey, good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Hernan Cardino, Director of Code Enforcement. When it comes to noise, I mean, listen, it's coming from everywhere. It's coming from our...
You're going to have to speak up a little bit.
It's coming from our bars, our nightclubs, cars. So it's difficult. I mean, we have limited resources. We can't be everywhere all the time, so it's difficult to enforce. We do as much as we can.
I appreciate the challenge in enforcement. I would just say, given the urgency of the situation, a special meeting, the curfew that we're putting in place, you know, especially in that Art Deco cultural district, right, where the heart of it is, I wonder if we couldn't make a little extra effort on the noise issue. It just creates this environment that I don't think we want. Also, to close with this, you know, we have a problem on our hands, and for me, there are a couple things going on. I think one, for whatever reason, and this probably goes a ways back, some people inadvertently have got the message that this is an anything-goes town, and they can get away with things that they wouldn't do in their own town. And I think it calls for the need for vigilant enforcement. I also believe, you know, if you can't control the party, then you got to sort of shut the party down and tamp that party down. I know some of my colleagues may not agree, but for me, I think we have an opportunity as a commission with the 2 a.m. legislation to do some of that. I have a couple of thoughts, but Mayor, I'm going to yield. I look forward to hearing my colleagues' feedback.
Thank you. I'm just going to go down the row, and I'll come to Commissioner Minor.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you for that intro, Alina. I think you mentioned something very interesting, that the 6 incidences of shootings and casings found, where the media has rightfully focused on the 2 on Ocean Drive, but there have been other incidences that haven't quite gotten the media attention, but equally concerning. And it's literally by the grace of God that we have not had a tragedy in our city. I can't think of a more fitting public safety emergency than this one. And all you have to do is go down to Ocean Drive, which I did Sunday night, and realize the tension that you feel down there. You just feel that it's ready to, something potentially bad can happen, which it has. And I have to say, you know, Chief, I'm constantly pushing on the police presence. I mean, I probably spend more time on that than anything. The police presence has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. From the Miami Beach Police, which has been great. You've been out there, you've been visible. The county officers, you could not have a more visible police presence. And you said it right. I mean, that shooting, you could see in the video, literally happened within feet of our officers. So we can't do, I can't think of anything else that we could be doing right now to control this other than putting in a curfew to try to get clear the streets. So I'm supportive, I'm very supportive of this.
Commissioner Cruz, oh, I'm sorry.
Couple issues that are not directly related to, that we're not going to be addressing today, but I have to mention, because it's such a big part of some of the initiatives that I've been talking about and our commission has been dealing with. And that's, for example, there was a double armed robbery, back-to-back armed robberies, and the individual who was arrested in that was out on probation for a carjacking. And this is a situation we're facing over and over again. You're taking over 100 guns off the street in the last 4 weeks, 30-something, 37, I think, in the last weekend. And that is another analysis that I'm doing right now that I'm going to go public with. It's going to take me a little time because I'm doing it myself. But it's an issue that we have to make sure that when there's illegal guns in our streets and we're taking them off, that there's accountability for the perpetrator, for the person committing that offense. And I know that's not you. Your police are doing the job. But it goes into the whole system, the prosecutions, the judicial system. And we have to start calling it out. People need to know. When people are committing crimes, and they're committing multiple crimes, and they're not being held accountable for the crime. We're talking about it all over the country, but it's happening here too. So that's another issue, but that's another larger analysis. I did want to ask a question. You know, I'm hearing, and I think Commissioner Samuelson kind of hit on it, about the partying from the cars. Is that how do we crack down on that when that's happening?
Well, again, both Commissioner Samuel and Commissioner Minor, and obviously recognizing Monica Beltran for their efforts as well. We recognized this issue on Friday with the 100 blocks between Ocean and Collins as being a gathering point for people that were using their cars to go ahead and to have these impromptu parties out of. So what we started to do was look at the problem areas, and the next day we took away those spaces. So we did move them off of that because what we did encounter during the weekend were crowds that were swelling in and around those areas, and it made using them for traffic purposes really difficult to do. So we are responding to these locations. We are taking proactive measures in order to be able to address them, and we're moving them along where, for example, if they're designated as residential only, if the person is not a resident and does not have the privilege of being there, we are moving them and attempting to have them find other parking accommodations, for lack of a better term.
Okay. I want to commend you again. The police have been out there, and your officers have suffered injuries. So first of all, they should get well soon, and hopefully that we won't see any more recurrence. But you know, I don't want to speak for everybody else, but our commission obviously has been very supportive of our forces, of our officers, and we do really from the bottom of our heart thank you for it. I was so impressed walking out there seeing people in a very difficult situation, really doing their best, and I was talking to some of the officers, and they were pretty frank with me. Like, I was actually with my wife Sunday night, and she said, you know, are we safe here? And they're like, doesn't even matter that we're standing here. Like, you see the videos. Like, they this is not safe for anybody. The officers may not even be a deterrent. So it's a very difficult situation. This is necessary. We have to do this. We cannot have, we've had 5 people shot on our street. I mean, somebody called me yesterday saying, well, you can't shut down the businesses. It's not fair. I'm usually pretty deferential. And I cut in, I said, we've had 5 people shot on our streets in the middle of Miami Beach. There's nothing to discuss. This is a public safety emergency. We cannot tolerate that. That cannot continue. And I would say, you know, I've been hearing rumblings that there's going to be lawsuits and this is going to be before a judge again. I would just ask, I would beg that judge, whoever's going to consider this, you go out there at midnight and stand on the streets of Miami Beach in the middle of this situation and then make a decision. Whatever your decision is, it's a judge. They have independent. But they should make that decision with full knowledge of what it's like to be on that street and put themselves in that dangerous situation. I would also say, you know, we get a lot of emails as commissioners, and we should, from residents asking and telling us their opinions, their concerns. What we don't have as much is, I actually have asked people when they were upset at some of the situations, whether it be FDOT, whether it be the county, and I've started providing the email addresses of the relevant person. I would say to people, email the judge. If there is a lawsuit in this situation right now and we go to court, our residents, I'll provide the email address of the judge. People should email. They're elected officials, not officials, they're elected as well. They have a right to be heard, and residents should let their feelings known about what they think about this situation. I'm supportive. You know, last year we unfortunately, and it's hard to believe that we had to get there, but we went to 8 p.m. curfew, and it was the right call. It was the right move, and it worked. So I like what Alina. I like your approach here. That we're not going to 8 yet. Hopefully we don't get there, but I don't rule anything out. Hopefully midnight works the trick. I would also ask, and I asked this last year, and you weren't the city manager. I want to ask you. I'm not going to put you on the spot now, but I would love to see a list. You don't even have to prepare a whole analysis, but a list of every possible measure we could take. I think it would be helpful to see, as a commissioner, you know, what the various levels of steps we could take. Some of them may be more extreme than others, and maybe we're not there. But I think it would be helpful to know, as we consider these issues and these parameters, what we could potentially do. And hopefully it doesn't get worse and we won't have to consider anything further. But those are my comments, and I'm supportive.
Thank you. Commissioner Fernandez.
About a year ago, and I was reminded because I see a reporter who attended my protest, we held a shut the party down protest in front of City Hall. I don't know if you remember, and we had residents from across the city who came out and said that they were afraid for their lives. So this is not a new thing. It's every single year. But I think the most important message that we need to send to the world is that this is a very concentrated area. Our beaches are safe. And by the way, throughout the rest of the city, we are having a lovely spring break. This is one concentrated area, and Miami Beach is open for business, and we are booming, and we've never had such wonderful business and such high room rates as we have right now. So while we have a small area where we are having some issues, and those are very grave issues, I don't think that the message that we want to send to the world is that all of Miami Beach is dangerous, because that's not true. Okay? Now, why is the curfew from 1st Street to 23rd Street? Because I think that we want to avoid taking this crowd and herding it into a residential area like we did last year. Let's be clear. I can walk down Alton Road, West Avenue, go to most places in Miami Beach right now, and I do not feel unsafe. Right? Okay. Here are my questions that I have. What are you guys going to do between 9 a.m. and midnight? Like, we have this whole, you know, we're sending everybody home at midnight. You are going to have a crowd gathering. How are you going to disperse this crowd in a way that is not going to cause a riot with more gunshots and more chaos? What's the plan?
Well, we have a very robust spring break plan that deals with people that are actually coming to the beach during the daytime hours. I'd say we strategically go ahead and we move them off the beach without using any type of unnecessary demands. Usually it's centered around the concept of cleaning the beach, as we learned, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, sanitation and public works coming in and trying to keep the beaches clean. It seems to work very well. You know, the message is, hey, we're cleaning the beach. So it's a transition. Then it goes to Ocean Drive. When it's Ocean Drive, we work on that up until this meeting. You know, we had been going ahead and monitoring the crowd and dealing with issues associated with congregation, like in one particular area, and monitoring the crowd. crowd comes out onto the street or starts to gather in one location, we attempt to move them back up on the sidewalk or in the park area. So how are we going to do this? We're going to do it the same way we've been doing everything else, every way else. We're going to get the message out. We're going to go up to people who are there. We're going to afford them the opportunity. We're going to let the businesses know. And I don't think I can emphasize this enough. It's important that we have the cooperation of the businesses in being able to facilitate this process. If we don't, it's going to complicate things. But let's not test the resolve. We're going to be able to move people off. We did this last year during the COVID deployment when there was a countywide curfew. We start literally from Ocean Drive and work our way from literally from Ocean to Collins to Washington. And we afford people every opportunity in the world to go back to their hotel room, to go to their car, but to clearly understand that there is a curfew in place and that they're going to need to go ahead and vacate the location. So we're kind of getting the stragglers.
Confident that we're going to be able to clear the streets in a timely manner without having any chaos?
I believe that we can. We have experience doing this before. I'm not going to say that there won't be situations where an arrest may occur, because that happens in every situation, but it could be an arrest for disorderly conduct. It could be an arrest for a variety of different things. But our goal is to get people peacefully off the street in an orderly manner and get them to understand why it is that we're doing it, which is all based and centered on public safety. You know, Commissioner, the issue here really, and has been during the entire deployment, is the size of the crowds. You know, the crowds themselves are really, and have been up until this point in time, extremely robust, and they've been there for a significant period of time. For this shooting that occurred on Saturday night, Sunday morning, we had a difficult time as an agency identifying who was involved. In fact, you know, I looked at some of the video associated with this, and you had an individual that was running away from the location of the shooting itself that had a firearm in his hand. And that situation could have turned bad really quick. And by that, I mean our officer engaging that person and taking a deadly force situation, not understanding what the role was. You know, that person later, under the investigation, had told us, look, I heard shots fired, and I thought someone was firing at me. I have a concealed weapons permit, so I took my firearm out. We don't know. When the crowds get so big and so robust like that, we don't know who the shooter is and who's not. So really, for us, it's a matter of identifying that, being able to deal with it. And going back to your original question, you know, being able to really deal with the size of the crowds and really discourage people from congregating in one particular area when it becomes 12 o'clock. And we haven't been seeing that happen.
Okay, well, there's no question that this is difficult. Number one, because it's World Music Week, and I don't know how many emails I've gotten and millions of dollars in parties and things and events going on around the city, and then we declare a state of emergency and all of that, you know, with no notice. And I know also, you know, that we're going to be sued. And I feel really horribly for those businesses. I do, because I really think that that's unfair. But then I think about the fact that if I don't support this curfew and more people get injured or die, then it's blood on my hands. And if the judge reverses the order, it's blood on her hands or his hands, whomever this case goes in front of. And I don't think we have a choice given the fact that we can't control it. And I will say, we've never had a city manager who has been out there every single night. We get a message from our city manager, Alina Hudak, every night at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I'm just going to sleep right now. I'm out here. Here's the incident that's happened. And I do believe that we've done everything that we can possibly do in our power to control this situation. And it's out of our hands. And I think I have a responsibility to public safety, and I feel very badly for the business community. But I'm going to support this curfew. I hope that as we try to move the crowd throughout the weekend, that it doesn't get, that we don't have stampedes, that we don't have herding into our other neighborhoods. But I don't think I have any other choice given the fact that there were, the statistics are crazy, 37 guns. What I would tell my colleagues was that if you look at all the money that we've spent, $3.5 million at least for Miami Beach Live. I don't know how many millions of dollars in extra policing. Maybe the responsible thing to do next year is to take the $5-6 million that we're going to spend on this, go to all of those businesses, have them submit whatever their expenses are, and just pay them to shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. Wouldn't that be smarter than wasting all of the money that we've wasted, the time, the effort, the emergency showdowns? I think that we could have done this smarter, and I think now we know. And moving forward next year, I don't think that there should be a Miami Beach Live. I don't think that we should spend millions of dollars in diverting traffic and making residents miserable and spending so much money on police. We will shut it down. We should do it responsibly. We should pay those businesses whatever they're going to lose so that they can pay their employees and make some money on top of it. And I think that that would be the smartest thing that we could do, the most organized thing, the less stressful response that we could have. And once again, I want to reiterate to everybody, and I know I've been going on and on for a long time, Miami Beach is safe. We have a couple of blocks with an issue, but we are open for business. Our hotels are open. I was on the beach the other day at in front of the W, and I had the most lovely time. So come on out to Miami Beach, because you know we are having a wonderful spring break, and it is a very isolated area, and I think that's the message that everybody needs to know.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Fernandez.
Thank you, please. Mr. Mayor. I want to echo the comments of this body in supporting and thanking our police for their incredible hard work in front of a defiant crowd, a lawless crowd, a crowd that has no respect for the laws of our city or for our community, as well to the city manager and her administration for their hard work for a long time planning for this. It's almost a tale of two cities, because I have some different thoughts on Miami Beach Live. I actually think Miami Beach Live has been great, and we often hear about activation and positive activation, and I've seen Miami Beach Live bring such positive energy to Miami Beach, almost optimism during this concert series, during the health and wellness activities. And it's when that ends and the streets are cleared and the families go back home and the void exists that these problems permeate into this very small area of a wonderful and very safe city, if it were not for this very small area, the usually 6th, 7th, 8th streets. So I really so grateful to the city administration and to our police officers who are on the street, as well as those from the county. I do have some questions about the curfew. How would this work with residents? I understand we need to address the issue with lawless visitors who are creating the problem in our streets. But what about the residents of the city of Miami Beach, who are our constituents and our taxpayers? What can we do to reduce the impact of this on them?
Commissioner, I think your concern, I'm not sure exactly what your concern is. I think the goal is to obviously be able to manage the crowd and manage the situation so that, you know, the experience for our residents will in fact be better. The reality is that our traffic, you know, our traffic issue is real, and our residents are stuck in our traffic just like everybody else is stuck in our traffic. And so we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure that at the point that the curfew is implemented, that our residents have access to their neighborhoods and to the areas that they need access to. And we're going to make sure that, and I was waiting, quite frankly, till today to make sure that we had, you know, the exact, I didn't want to create confusion by saying 3 days versus 4 days. So immediately after this, we will issue the order as well as the press release, and we will be communicating with all our residents. We will make sure that they know to be prepared for certain things. Unfortunately, the reality for our residents and for all of us, you know, who live and work here, is that, you know, there will be traffic, and our LPR detail adds to that traffic, and all the different things that we do as part of our response adds to that congestion, and our residents may feel the impact of some of this.
My question relates specifically to the curfew. We have essential employees. We also have residents that, given the curfew in Miami Beach, they may want to go, let's say, to the city of Miami, or they may want to be coming back home. They may be working. will there be any exceptions?
They will have no problem coming. They will have no problem coming back to the city as long as they can properly identify themselves at any particular moment when they might be asked to produce proof of either, you know, a hotel accommodation or residency. They should have no problem whatsoever.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And I too spent a lot of time, many hours in the ADCD this weekend at night, feeling precisely that tension in the atmosphere once the positive activity ended. One of my observations was the side streets. The side streets, especially 6, 7, 8, tend to be a concern for me. What can be done to improve the safety, the situation on these side streets that I sense tend to attract some of the more dangerous activity in our city?
The first thing we did, commissioners, we eliminated the parking spaces where they were occurring. The second thing that we did, I directed Captain Feldman, who is the commander of the area itself, to make sure that we had a mobile contingency that would traverse the alleyway, where we also saw a lot of activity that was occurring as well. Miami-Dade Police Department had the entranceways or the access points for each of the streets coming into the areas that you're talking about. We were just trying to create a presence in and around there that deterred that activity. Most of the things that we saw that you're referring to are when people were moving from one location to another and they'd stop, you know, and we would go and, you know, again, by our presence alone, more oftentimes than not, they would move them. Some of the issues that we had, very candid, there's some places that are open up until 5 a.m. in these locations that people tend to congregate for a variety of reasons, whether it be because of food, the convenience stores and things of that nature that they were going ahead and they were going to. So really our ability to be able to move them when they're patrons of those locations and when the location is dealing with them in that capacity is difficult.
And Madam Manager, today every...
Yes, it will.
The curfew will help that congregation that's happening in some of those side streets tremendously.
And I sense that some of the establishments on these side streets that are causing the problem, or attracting some of the problem, are liquor stores, some of these pizza shops, some of these vape shops. Are these the type of establishments on these side streets that are attracting the problem?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Madam Manager, today I requested from the City Attorney's Office, just for your reference, legislation or options on legislation of what can we do during the month of March and during other high-impact periods to further control the situation of these liquor stores, vape shops, and fast food pizza shops that seem to be fueling the problem on these side streets. Commissioner Minor, I agree with you. A list of options is always good. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to thank the parking department on their efforts in limiting parking and their on-the-ground work regarding this. Again, I support the recommendation of our public safety officers, of you, Chief, and you, Madam Manager. I'm not a public safety expert, but when we have had the number of people getting injured in our community and the amount of officers themselves being injured trying to protect this community, and you're telling us that this is what we need, we can't prioritize a music festival over the lives of individuals. And I will be supporting this request today. I ask our businesses to be empathetic of the situation. We are empathetic of them. We want to support them as well. But this is just a challenging moment, and we all have to get through it together. And again, I thank you for your hard work this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
PJ, could you let Commissioner Ariola? I think he would like to speak. He's on Zoom. Commissioner Ariola?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm sorry I'm not there with you all, and I want to let Alina, her entire team, know how grateful I am. We all are for, you know, your tireless efforts. I know you're stuck in a really bad spot with not a lot of great options, and of course, our police department, the chief, and everything you've done to keep us safe. We've had a number of officers, unfortunately, hurt over the past couple of weeks. I've contacted some of them. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with them that they make a speedy recovery in this just an awful predicament we find ourselves in. You know, and to our residents, you know, I hope they all know we are working feverishly, trying to be creative in every which direction to make a, you know, what has been for many years a really bad month better. We've had some successes this year, but clearly not enough. I mean, the past weekend was tragic. Fortunately, we haven't had any loss of lives, and hopefully that will continue, and, you know, the worst is behind us, but we don't really, you know, hope is not a strategy. So, you know, what's being offered now with the curfew, you know, I don't like curfews. I don't like state of emergencies. I don't like the heavy hand of government in general. I will be supportive. You know, I'm not sure it's going to make enough of a difference to get this beyond us, but I'm hopeful that it will make some difference. My comment is as follows. You know, what we're facing, it's not a crowd issue because we do very well with crowds, whether it's Art Basel, Art Deco Weekend, Food and Wine, Super Bowl, etc. It's a particular crowd that comes here, particularly this time of year, that, you know, doesn't behave with normal civil rules of conduct. You know, they settle differences with fighting, stabbing, shootings, and mayhem. And my comment is to the leadership out there, you know, where are you right now when we as a city need you? And I'm not talking about local leadership. I'm talking about national leadership organizations out there that have done nothing but condemn city governments, police departments for the past 2 years with defunding the police and decriminalization of, you know, reckless behavior. You know, where are they right now? Because what we're witnessing is a lot of violent crime being perpetrated by members of a community on their same community. And that's tragic at a moment in time in which we are hopefully confirming the first black female justice to the Supreme Court. There's this mayhem happening in the streets all across America, including ours. Where is that leadership talking, condemning the actions? We're seeing young people losing their lives literally on our streets. Last year, we saw a young man get stabbed and bled out to death. Black on black crime. Where is the leadership at a national level coming down to our city and condemning this and helping us save lives, helping us try to create a better outcome for a community, you know? And this is, you know, my plea to that leadership that has spent the last 2 years condemning police and city governments who try to enforce law and order. Where is that leadership now when your community needs you? That's my question. I'd love to have a response from that leadership because they've been real quiet when these things come up. We will not, Miami Beach will never become one of these progressive cities that we have seen over the last 2 years in particular. Pick it, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Chicago, Los Angeles, that have literally lost their way. It's been to the benefit of Florida and Miami Beach because a lot of those people have moved here because they feel that we are safer. We will not bend to the will of the mob. We will continue to enforce our laws and come up with ways to make our city safer. We are in a bad spot right now because we are taking draconian actions, such as curfews, that impair businesses, that impair the convenience of our residents. And for the 99% of law-abiding tourists that come to our city, we are having to take these horrific measures for a small percentage of people who just don't want to obey the law and don't care about the ramifications of their actions. And we need national leadership to step in and help us do this. So thank you, Mayor. And thank you for everybody who's working tirelessly to try to fix this problem. You know, we're not going to stop trying and we're not going to stop trying to come up with new ideas to do this. But, you know, we need help at a national level to have a conversation with a culture that has totally run amok. The leaders that have advanced rights for particularly, you know, the African-American community did not you know, die in vain to see this outcome, because this is not the culture that is going to advance the population. And we need help here. We need national leaders to step in and help us talk to this crowd that thinks that pulling a gun and shooting innocent bystanders is the way to live your life. That's just not the path forward. And the other crowds that we have coming here throughout the year don't behave like this. And, you know, we need national help to have a conversation and, you know, help fix the culture that glorifies violence and misogyny and, you know, attacking police and law-abiding citizens. That's not the way we're going to move forward as a society. So, you know, I've said my piece. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Richardson, then we'll, a couple of you want to speak again, we'll go back. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I want to thank you, Alina. You've been out there on the front lines, and I want to thank our first responders because we're 100% supportive of you. You guys have done an amazing job, and our fire rescue as well. So I appreciate the situation. You know, we have tried a lot, haven't we? One thing that was really struck me on Friday night when I saw the video of the MXC is the number of people. And I think I said this to you, Chief, that I think no amount of policing could have prevented what happened these two nights with the shooting because of the sheer volume. The truth is we just had too many people in our city this weekend. And so, you know, I'm reminded that, you know, you go to the movie theater and there's a sign up there, maximum capacity, 200 people. There's a reason they do that, right? There's a reason that you limit the capacity for fire and other reasons. And so even if everybody had been on their best behavior, we had too many people here this weekend. And so my first question is, what, and I don't know if this is a legal or a manager question or a you question, Chief, but what can be done to limit the capacity? Because, you know, if you went to the movie theater and all the tickets had been sold, they wouldn't let you buy a ticket, right? And so I know we can't close the causeway. It's a state road. But I think in years past we have told people that our city is full. And so are we doing that? Is that something we can do? That's my question.
Madam Manager, I'll defer to you first, or you want me to go first?
I'll respond with what I think is what we do, and you can confirm. Again, I've only been your city manager for less than a year at this point, but, you know, this is a public place. This is a public park. This is a public road. This is a city that, you know, welcomes people, and there are laws that prevent us from obviously telling people they can't come into public spaces, and rightfully so. I think that I know that the chief has public safety emergency powers, like, you know, every police chief in this community does, and at the appropriate time that he believes that he has to, for whatever reason, bleed out the traffic, that he has to make decisions relative to the conditions, he has the ability to do that, and I've witnessed him do that, and he has done that. I think it's very different to bleed out traffic than it is to bleed out people and pedestrians that have, you know, taken over a park, a very large park, a very large area, sidewalks, a street, an area, a complete area. And so I don't want to speak for him, and certainly he can speak to the different tools and the different strategies that we do to control the flow and to control the flow of how people come into the city. But we have certainly done that, and we've done it during Memorial Day weekend. We've done it during spring break, and we've done it during Super Bowl weekends, and we've done it during different times at which the police chief, whoever the police chief is, decides that it's a public emergency situation.
Commissioner, just to add on that, we do anticipate, we do work with transportation to try to work on the timing of the lights We work with obviously our traffic unit in an attempt to be able to go ahead and mitigate those locations that do tend to bottleneck. One important thing, and you brought that out, and one of the concerns that we obviously have when we get crowds that way, is to be able to provide not only a response on the police department side, but our fire department's side as well. You know, Chief Fernandez is here and can tell you that on that scene, particularly on Saturday night, how difficult it was being able to get his personnel there to do what they needed to do in order to be able to provide the finest care that they could provide. So with that, we're constantly monitoring. We're utilizing our technology. We utilize transportation to do that. And then at the end of the day, we put boots on the ground in order to be able to try to go ahead and alleviate those tie-ups that you're talking about.
Okay, so I don't feel like I'm getting a direct answer. That's not a criticism. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a legal question. Can we shut down our city and say we have enough visitors, we're not allowing any more visitors? And that's my question. I don't know if that's legal or not. It's a public place. I get that. But at some point, it becomes a public safety issue that we have too many people in too small a space. And I want to know if it's legal, whether it's a state law, whether you have to declare a public safety issue, to turn people around at Fifth Street and say, our city is full right now. I'm sorry, come another day. Is that legal?
And Commissioner, I think what you're hearing from the manager and from the chief is we do have some inherent police powers and the right to restrict very temporarily the use of streets and public areas, but we don't have that absolute ability, I don't think, and we can look at it further for you. To just say we're at maximum occupancy and everybody else, no one else can get in. I think we're hitting the limits of the chief's police powers, which is why we're here today before you to invoke emergency authority, which the manager is entitled to do for this limited period of time with a measure that is intended to be very temporary and narrowly focused.
So, for example, thank you for that. So, for example, I live in Flamingo Park, and during Memorial Day weekends in recent years and during spring break now, the barricades go up, right? And you're protecting the residential area. I know I sometimes have to show my ID, right, if it's depending on what time of day I'm coming home. And so how are you accomplishing that? Are you determining that it's a public safety issue? That we can do that.
In your area, what we're trying to do is be able to keep the traffic from overwhelming the residential area, and more importantly, taking up valuable parking spaces that are there that are allocated specifically for people that live there. In years past, that's always been the complaint with the Flamingo Park area, again, those situations. And then our response to that, in terms of, you know, the police response and using parking as well, is it ties up our resources there, you know, vacating those spots for the residents to be able to go home. So, you know, it's part and parcel as to why we went ahead and we bordered out the Flamingo area, is to ensure that they're provided those comforts and those rights as far as their residency is concerned.
Yeah, I think it's wise, and I appreciate it, not just for me, but for everybody that lives in the area. To Commissioner Samuelin's point and question earlier about what else could be done, you know, it's been my observation that the barricades go up really when it's almost too late, right? Because the crowd's already here. And so one of the things you may want to look at is whether or not you should start that a little earlier, because there are people moving into those neighborhoods and parking and taking their chances on whether or not they'll get ticketed and towed. So that may be something you'd look at.
Yes, sir.
One of I think one of my colleagues brought up that last year we did a curfew at 8 p.m., I think, and it was, we already had, I think, a 12 a.m. curfew because of the county order on the pandemic. But then I think during spring break we had an additional 8 p.m., but it was limited, I think, to the MXE. So the question I have is, with this curfew, why is it broader than that? Is it, you know, when we did that, it was basically, I guess, Pennsylvania to the ocean and 5th through maybe 15th, something like that. This is much broader, and I'm curious why this area has been chosen.
Well, I beg to differ on that. I actually, from my perspective, from the chief of police, I would prefer that it be citywide, okay, to be consistent. But we've spoken about this, and we feel it should be more narrowly defined to the area that we think has the most concentration of activity. And I think our statistics are pretty clear, you know, with regards to calls for service, for reports that are generated for arrests and things of that nature, that south of Dade Boulevard up to 23rd Street all the way down to South Point Drive or South Point Park, in this instance from the ocean to the bay, is predominantly where most of our activity occurs and where most of our resources are allocated in order to be able to provide those police services. So that's why. Does it make it easier for me to just say citywide? Sure. You know, but there has to be some concessions. It has to be more narrowly defined, and I think that that's where we ended up landing. Now, as far as the APM goes, once again, I would say that, yeah, from my perspective, APM would be ideal. But we also realize that there are businesses out there that, you know, that we do need to take into account. And we think that midnight is a good compromise to the situation as a whole.
And I think, Commissioner, you know, one of the things that, you know, we want to make sure we're not creating false expectation. At the end of the day, we're managing and balancing risk, and we're managing, you know, ideally, obviously, the chief would love to have 7 p.m., 8 p.m., but we're managing a condition. We're trying to be respectful of our businesses, all of our businesses. We're trying to obviously protect our public and protect our residents. And I'm very concerned, and we've had these discussions at length about the experience last year, what we saw with the experience last year, and how the crowds got pushed into other neighborhoods. And we made a very conscious decision to define this area and to define this curfew so that we could manage and we could control this area to the best of our abilities. And we know that as the night wears on and as the night goes on, that people continue to drink, their behavior is impeded. We see, you know, we have experience, our officers and all of our police leadership has seen what happens throughout the night. And we know that by midnight, we're in a condition that, you know, quite frankly, becomes dangerous because common sense and behavior are impacted. And so we've done everything we can possibly do to do this in the most respectful way to our businesses, but at the same time, do what I am charged with. I have to protect the city. I have to make public safety decisions. And this was an extraordinarily difficult decision to make. I certainly didn't want to find myself here, but here we are, and all we can do is manage the condition that we have to deal with.
And thank you for that. I would just say that in comparing to last year, when people talk about spring break of 21, I stop them and say what we had last year was not really spring break, right? It was the month of March, and it was a lot of pent-up demand and $59 airfares and hundreds of illegal Airbnbs, and which we still struggle with that issue today. And fortunately, we added more enforcement officers to try to find those. The reason I ask about the area is because I asked legal, and I'm not a lawyer, but I asked legal to get me the copy of the state law that allows, you know, it basically says you can do this where it's narrowly tailored. And so I guess you all have to concluded that this you feel like is narrowly tailored. Because we may get some legal challenge to this. Is that yes, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
Thank you. And someone brought up the question of alcohol in the MXC, and right now the state, I mean, our ordinance is 8 p.m. Have we thought about, as part of this order, shutting the liquor stores down earlier in the MXC? Because this doesn't start at 8 p.m. The drinking starts earlier, and we've made it very convenient. You know, the problem we have is the problem is not inside the establishments, right? It's the people that are causing the problems are not going to the bars and the clubs. They're basically going to the liquor store and pouring some liquor into a Gatorade or something else. And so have we thought about taking that action?
I think if this commission would like to close liquor stores earlier, I fully support that. I don't know that I have the power to do that.
I would support closing the liquor stores in the MXE this weekend at an earlier time. If my colleagues, I'll let them address that, but just for this weekend, if we're going to declare an emergency, I certainly would support that. I'm concerned for our businesses. I'm concerned that we've got a lot of people coming here that have made reservations at hotels. One hotel owner told me this morning that they had already 20 calls on rooms that are renting for $800 a night, 20 calls from people that want to cancel their reservation. And so, but I understand the dilemma that you're in, Madam Manager, and why you're asking for this. And so I worry about a legal challenge. There's no good answer here. I think we have done pretty much everything that we can do. I do think that there are some things we could probably do with Miami Beach Live to make it a little better, but I think that it has been a success, and it accomplished our bigger goal. Some people were worried about the crowd size, and quite frankly, that was less of my concern, whether or not it was 2,000 people or 3,000 people. But so I'd like to hear from my colleagues about alcohol sales in the MXC, if anyone has any interest in talking about that, for this weekend only.
Okay, are you done? Because I have what I'm going to do is someone's going to move the item, and then we're going to deal with
it. Yeah, I'm going to move the item.
Overall items are moved. I'll second it. Commissioner Richardson has suggested that we, as part of the item, approve to the extent possible by law, give the manager the authority or approve her authority if she has it to address liquor hours in the same area. Is that
To be clear, sir, that the main motion is really to authorize the extension of the state of emergency through Monday morning, March 28th at 6 a.m. So, and
that's
then
the main motion,
then you're saying to the extent legally possible, which we do think that we're talking here of an emergency measure that has a duration of four days in an area that has massive crowds. Where the packaged liquor sales are contributing to the problem, I think that it is something that we do have the authority to do. It does. It was mentioned that there may be litigation out of this, and it does add an element to that. But do you have the authority to do it? We think you do.
And by the way, all right. So just so we can perfect an amendment that we can consider. If there's no objection, let's give...
So I would make that motion to amend it to give the manager the authority...
To the extent provided by law.
To the extent provided by law to curtail the hours.
And I'll second that for discussion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, well, first of all, is there any objection to the amendment going on? Okay, so we don't have to debate it. That's now part of the main amendment. And I just would like to know one thing, Raphael, and that is... Commissioner Richardson and I spent a lot of time on severability issues in the legislature. Are the various planks of the order severable to the extent of if a liquor store sues, will we still have the underlying order on the curfew?
We could certainly add a severability clause and make that argument. And I just want to add, because I'm just getting folks from the office sending me, the city code already contemplates that in an emergency scenario, the manager does have the authority to limit and restrict alcohol sales. So we could, it's certainly an issue here, and so we'll work with her on the appropriate
okay,
time.
So without objection, let's just show that, unless somebody has an objection, let's just show that the amendment now has a second clause on the executive order to the extent provided by law, the liquor restriction also. Okay, now we're going to go, a couple of people, yep, well, a couple of people said they want to speak again, so I'm going to go down to those people. We're going to go, he had asked, and then you'll go. Go ahead, Commissioner Minor, you had asked first. And then we'll go to Commissioner Fernandez and then to Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez.
A statement and a question. One of the things we obviously often have to do is deal with our state, the county, And I'll tell you this one, dealing with the shutting down of the causeways is really been perplexing to me, that the state, FDOT, has not been more willing to work with us. Last year, I worked very closely with Chief Virgil Fernandez and also Chief Clements, but I had worked on a initiative to have a resident-only lane. When we have to, these very situations, when we have to limit the access to our causeways, but also for hurricanes potentially, and our commission passed unanimously that measure to have a resident-only lane, which really wouldn't impede anything. It actually helps cars get through because it would work on a license plate reader technology, and the cars would go right through. But FDOT would not allow us to do that. And I actually personally spoke with the FDOT district manager who said that they would not allow it. And I've actually now reached out. It's a little late for this year, but I've now reached out to Tallahassee, to the powers that be, to try to make that happen, because it really makes it difficult in this very situation where we're now going to have to limit access because our city gets too crowded or we have a curfew and our residents end up spending 4, 5, 6 hours trying to get in. It makes it very difficult for us as a body. It makes it difficult for our police department when we're really there was a relatively, I don't want to say simple, but there was a solution that our commission supported that we were blocked by what should be accommodating agency that we're all working. We're all here together. And it is just so frustrating and perplexing to me that they would not accommodate that simple request on behalf of our residents. And I'll continue to fight for that. It just makes total sense. But that's a statement. The question, though, is, Chief, if you don't mind switching gears, when we're talking about clearing out the streets when the curfew hits, are we going to have officers stationed in the neighboring where it's certainly heavily residential areas? Or we can have officers stationed to make sure, like we saw last year, Flamingo Park and other areas, West Avenue, to make sure that the crowd doesn't just move there?
We're going to move along with the crowd. You know, it's a sweeping motion. We go from Ocean to Collins to Washington. We make sure that people are going back to their cars if they're parked in the garages or wherever they're parked. And make sure that they exit in an orderly manner. We're going to watch and see how that also plays out in the areas of Flamingo, also the Sofna area, to make sure that they're not getting inundated with persons as well, or that people are trying to ignore the curfew order by going down to a different location. So we will move our resources around while leaving resources behind us to make sure that people don't, you know, come back around and go to those very places that we just vacated. That's the plan.
And what's your sense of, obviously we're not IDing an average person, but we probably know from, A, the individuals who have been arrested and also from the individuals who unfortunately were injured and got caught in the crossfire, so to speak. Are these college students? I mean, is this a college crowd, or what are we talking about here?
I believe the age of our victims from the Sunday night, Monday morning incident were, I think one was 31 and the other was 25. I don't know whether they were going to college, and it would be unfair for me to be able to determine whether they were. They could have very well been there, or they'd been on break from spring break if they were, you know, again, pursuing an advanced degree. But the perpetrator in this case was 19 years old. You know, so, you know, again, you know, what they were doing, you know, in Miami Beach at that time and where they could go in Miami Beach at that time is in question. Where could they go at that time of night, you know, and what could they do?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Fernandez, then Commissioner Rosa-Gonzalez, then back to Commissioner Samuel, and we will not be recognized Commissioner Richardson, should you want to speak.
And Commissioner Richardson, thank you for making that motion. I had been emailing with the city attorney's office earlier today about something similar in nature, but for future months of March and other high-impact periods. So closing these liquor stores during the state of emergency, I think is a very wise addition. I've seen how busy those stores are of individuals that are packed in those stores buying their liquor there. And you said it well. It's not the restaurants. It's not even the bars. It's the liquor stores. And the smoke shops, the vape shops, as I speak with police, that also contribute to this problem. And so, Mr. Attorney, for future years, it would be great if our code could allow, as part of the emergency orders, to address the smoke shops as well, which I understand from our police contribute to the problems that we're dealing with. Madam Manager, I forgot to ask it in my first line of questions. Businesses are asking about deliveries. Will your emergency order allow for deliveries?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that I observed that concerned me, that I don't know if it added to the tension that I felt on Ocean Drive, was the west side of Ocean Drive. There was, I don't know if there's the ability to do an expansion area on the west side of Ocean Drive during this state of emergency period so that people are not as packed on the sidewalk. And I just put it out there because I just sensed people were rubbing against each other. They were kind of elbowing each other as they were walking. And it was an observation that I saw, and it was a concern. And so I don't know if that's in the works.
Thank you, Commissioner. The west side is as much of a concern as obviously the east side. On Friday and Saturday night, everything, I mean, it had spilled over into the bicycle path. It spilled over into the middle of the street, quite frankly. I think that I've tried and we've tried collectively very hard not to make any decisions that adversely impact our sidewalk cafes.
Of course not.
Because we want our businesses, again, to continue to flourish and to have those capabilities, but to actually move the sidewalk cafe into the street would, I believe, only create more of a public safety issue. And we are not prepared to recommend that at
okay.
this time.
That's fair enough. To Commissioner Richardson's point, I do recall in years past, if necessary, when the volume of traffic became untenable on Fifth Street, the request being placed for the closure of MacArthur Causeway. And so under whatever police authority the chief and you have, Madam Manager, I certainly do believe it would be prudent, of course, under your judgment, your good judgment on that.
Thank you. I did have a follow-up conversation with the secretary on Monday, immediately after the weekend that we experienced, and had, you know, yet again another conversation about our reality. And again, the secretary emphasized what can and can't be done on the causeways.
And lastly, what are we doing to protect? We spoke a little bit about Flamingo Park, which is a residential neighborhood directly impacted by this, but also south of Fifth. What?
I'd like the chief to speak to that because we have protected the area south of Fifth, and we will continue to protect that, and we're going to continue to revisit that.
And I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question, Commissioner. We currently have a line of barricades in place along the Fifth Street corridor. We're going to extend that along Washington Avenue, not blocking the access to the parking garage on 4th Street, but we think that going down as far as 2nd Street and protecting the neighborhoods on both not only the Washington Avenue side but also the Alton Road side gives them a little bit more stability. And more importantly, we talk about the ability to park cars and to come home and to have those spots that are allocated, you know, for the residents to be available to them.
So we're reducing the access points
to
the south of Fifth neighborhood. Would there be any checkpoints?
A checkpoint is defined as going into the area itself.
Right, resident checking if it's a resident, if it's a visitor.
What we're going to do is we're going to ask people if they live in the area, but we're not going to go
right.
ahead and stop them from
okay.
going in the area.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez.
I've gotten several complaints about parking lots across the city. What happens at a certain hour is they turn into tailgate parties, and residents living in parking lots across South Beach are sending me emails with the noise, drug dealing, their makeshift bars. So I would just say, can we please have our parking department out, not just on Ocean Drive, but in lots across South Beach, and start towing these cars, and we need some sort of enforcement because those parking lots have turned into mini party pockets.
Commissioner, and part of the reason that the curfew is so important is to control that and to control the fact, I mean, we had a conversation this morning. We have a problem in our bathrooms. We have a problem in our stairwells and our garages and what people are doing in those stairwells. And so that you are again adding to the reason why we feel very strongly that we need a curfew.
Okay. My other question is, what I hear a lot is that we've got guys who come out to Ocean Drive and they've got coolers. So we're going to close down our package stores, and then we've got these makeshift illegal bars set up on the streets. During the day, even. I mean, are we going to arrest these people? What are we going to do with them too? I mean, because if you just tell them to put it away, they're just going to take it and move to a different location. So how are we going to control this?
We've been working with Code when these situations do come up, and Code has been very proactive with helping us and assisting us with these issues. When it becomes an issue where it's the person does it repeatedly, at that point in time, we move to a more definitive solution, which could be arrest in that particular case. We've seen it. We're acting on those things. And again, we're attempting to go ahead and do everything we can do to remedy that. As far as the parking lots that you're talking about, I am aware of the one that you're referring to in the Sofna area. We have put it on our radar. I did not get a subsequent email after that, so I'm hoping that that was remedied. But we'll continue to watch it.
I got another email today about a lot on Lenox in between two buildings, so I would follow up on that, and I can forward you that email.
Yes, please.
I had one question about the closing of the package stores. Are those going to be closed the whole day? I don't know, Commissioner Richardson or Raphael. Are the package stores going to be closed completely? And if the package stores are closed completely, those supermarkets that are selling beer, does that mean the package store is closed, but you can go next door to one of the small markets and just buy two cases of beer and keep it going?
I believe that Commissioner Samuelin had that same question, and the way that we would draft it would be a restriction, whether it's a prohibition or a cutoff, for the sale of alcoholic beverages for off-premises consumption without regard to what type of establishment is involved.
And that will be just in the entertainment district?
The way I understood the motion was the MXC. The hours in the MXC are currently 8 p.m. So, you know.
The motion was to the MXC, and it was also to give you discretion. So it wasn't a direction.
Okay.
Is to use your discretion if you thought that they should be closed earlier than 8 p.m. I personally believe that it would be beneficial, but the motion was to ask you to use your best judgment.
Okay. Yeah.
That could be why we're in the situation, because between the makeshift bars and the package stores and the drinking on the beach, by the time
the people
exit the beach to get to Ocean Drive, they don't even care that there are police there because everybody's just
drunk.
So, I mean, I think we should do whatever we can to have like a presence, you know, out on the beach and definitely get those illegal guys.
Drunk, dehydrated, and
thank you.
And hi,
Commissioner Samuelin.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And the point that I wanted to be recognized was exactly where Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez was going. She mentioned the markets, and I think of the drug stores, which are allowed to sell beer and wine. And so if the package stores have to close at 8, Raphael, I'm assuming from your comments there's no explicit prohibition of us regulating those drug stores selling that beer and wine. Is that correct?
The prohibition would apply to the drug stores as well.
Okay, so I'm going to make the motion that we incorporate the language you said to include all off-premise as part of it. So I'll make that motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
I think that's what it was, wasn't it? It's any alcohol sales in the MXC.
Yeah. All right. So we don't have to – I think that's what we understood.
For off-premises consumption.
Yeah,
right.
That was a motion.
So I think we're okay.
No, I think the original was package stores.
Not one.
That's fine. That's okay.
We got it. Okay, is everybody – okay, commissioners, you recognized again.
The only thing I would say is we're doing this right now reactionarily and with no notice, but we do have Memorial Day coming up, and I think that we should have our officers and the city manager identify whatever weekends that we might potentially need to do the same and just do it
beforehand?
If I could address that just one moment. The reason for the notice issue is because we're declaring an emergency based on the incidents that we're experiencing in the field. So it's hard to do that 2 months in advance for Memorial Day. But we could look at, in terms of the high impact measures, what we could do for Memorial Day separately.
Well, I would suggest that we try to work with the operators in the MXE prior to Memorial Day and see if we can somehow come to some type of accord with them instead of fighting against them, because I don't think anybody wants the situation with stampedes and crowds and violence and shootings. It's not good for any of us, you know, here on Miami Beach, residents, businesses. You know, it's terrible for our reputation to get these headlines, and I think that our businesses recognize that too. And I do think that there should be some sort of forum where we can hear what the business community is willing to do to help us, because I think we all need to work together to solve this problem. I think everybody recognizes that it's a bad problem.
And I'm sorry, and I know you haven't spoken yet, Mr. Mayor.
All right, go ahead and get as many times as you want.
I want to be as careful as possible, careful of unintended consequences. And I don't want to move a problem from one area of our city to another area of our city. I think the way we're going about this is very wise, you know, saying the entire area south of 23rd Street, because we don't want to move the problem from one part of the island to the west part of the island and where we have more residential activity. And so I want to be careful also in that same vein with the prepackaged liquor sales, because, you know, when we're talking about the MXC, and I would imagine it's the MXC and the CD2 district along Washington Avenue, that's a small area. It's very easy for someone then to go into a liquor store south of 5th or go to a liquor store on Alton Road and do their prepackaged liquor purchases there. And, you know, I'm just wondering what guidance can we get as to whether it might be better to look at the entire area rather than these two specific zoning districts for the prepackaged liquor sales.
That's from our perspective, just strictly legal, that's a cleaner approach. If you're defining a geographic area where you have the crowd control issues, I believe that the chief could testify and speak to the long lines on Alton Road over the weekend, precisely because you had the 8 p.m. Closure in the MXE and people moving to other areas within this zone to purchase alcohol.
And so, Chief, yes.
Yeah, there was a long line at one of the local establishments on Alton Road, and I kid you not, it must have been 100 yards, and went around the corner, and people were actually waiting to get in, and they were being let in one by one. But it was, I thought they were giving something away.
And so, based on that, Commissioner Richardson, would you accept a friendly amendment to your motion to avoid the unintended consequences of this? You know, not limited to the two zoning districts, but specifically to this entire geographic area, which I sense from the attorneys they may feel more comfortable with as well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that's fine. This is, again, just
allowing
the city manager to use her discretion. I was really more concerned about where the larger group is gathering, and they're on foot, and it makes it very easy for them just to walk into whether it's a drugstore or liquor store or a small convenience store or a package store. But certainly I would accept that amendment and give the manager additional discretion there. I think she probably has that for the 3-day period, but she would need it for the 4th-day period.
And just to be clear, the amendment, which I think is still captured in the original amendment, is simply to give her, to the extent provided by law, the ability to do this not just for the 3 days, but for that extra day, which is actually why we're here. Right. Frankly, we wouldn't need to be here. But I also think the manager, rightfully, when we spoke about this yesterday morning, felt we ought to have a meeting so that we all can opine on it. So with that, we'll accept that amendment, which we're going to vote on in a moment. Commissioner Rosenzweig, do you want to speak again?
So this is just to give you permission to close all liquor stores across South Beach. Is that what you're suggesting, Commissioner Fernandez? Because I think that that's going a little too far.
It's prepackaged liquor sales.
Prepackaged package? You mean
it doesn't have necessarily to be in a liquor store. Someone could go to a 7-Eleven. Someone could go somewhere else. We don't want to
I think you have a problem that's located in a small area. I think you have side streets. I think if you're going to get shot down, if you know, I don't know what will happen legally with this, but I think that that is.
I think what we're saying is
going too far.
Giving her the discretion under her judgment,
okay,
which
but
she
I
feels
would
may
say
be necessary.
Let's go one at a time.
That,
you know, one at
because,
a time.
Because it. You're having a dinner party and you want to go buy a bottle of wine. Like, that's like, it's so, that's what makes people think that we're absurd.
It's the situation we're dealing with.
All right, let's, I think we have the motion. We're going to accept it on because I have a sense that a majority accept that version of it, which Commissioner just gives the manager the option. It doesn't direct her to do it.
Right.
So maybe you can talk to her afterwards and give her an informer decision. Okay, is everybody done? I just want to do a couple of quick questions before we vote. Chief, come on up. So first of all, I just want to make sure we all understand that you have narrowly drawn this as closely as possible, what you think will have a meaningful impact on our ability to. So I want to just ask you a couple of questions. Are you familiar with all the data of incidents as the chief? Do you look at that on a regular basis through this month?
Yes, sir.
And you compare it to other times as well?
Yes, sir.
And you talk to, I don't want to belittle it, but probably dozens and dozens of your officers directly about what they're seeing.
Yes, we have a crime solutions meeting that talks about the calls for service, the arrests, and reports that are generated within the particular areas.
And you have regular meetings with your command staff where they have also relayed to you all the observations they have of what all the men and women in our department on the street are seeing and feeling?
Yes, sir. Not only that, they're also provided this weekly. They'll get a weekly crime trends report that they can go ahead and they can plan around.
And you you all, I've seen them. You have video screens of almost, you know, looks to me like a few dozen different camera views in this South Beach area. And you've seen that, and your officials under you see that as well?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
And you've been on probably seen hundreds of hours over the last month yourself?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you've obviously... Is it a concern of yours that starting yesterday, all the Dayton Broward high school kids are now on spring break as well, so they're probably going to be in the mix as well? Well,
that became apparent on Friday. You know, we were out there at South Point and even further north along the beachfront area where we saw more high school kids that were joining the beach.
And in terms of areas 1 and 4, which we're really talking about, is that could you explain why that area is so important? To constrain as part of this measure?
I think there's a consolidation aspect of it when you look at the crime stats. So, for example, when you look at the geographic boundaries that we've narrowly focused on, you know, just since the beginning of the year alone, we're talking about 62% of the crimes that are actually calls for service. I apologize. 69% of all major crimes throughout the city occur within these areas. For all case reports, it's 67%. And the total number of arrests to date are 77% of the arrests occur within this area.
Okay. So it's your opinion, based on all your experience, that you've narrowly drawn this area, you and the manager, to have a meaningful impact without overdrawing it to areas that might not have that same meaningful return on security and public safety?
Yes, sir.
All right. Just a couple things before we vote. You know, I appreciate all of your comments, frankly, and I appreciate the seriousness of all my colleagues on this and the manager. When I spoke to the manager yesterday morning and we discussed this, we wanted to have a media event in the afternoon and a meeting today, really in great part because, to your point, Commissioner Rosenkranz, it's not a lot of notice to the world when we do this. And one of the complaints I've always had, and I always raise it, is that I'm like Karnak, and most of you are too young to realize our police chief remembers it. Johnny Carson and Karnak could predict when something was going to happen. And we all knew that this week and next week are going to be very hard weekends because almost every year they are very hard weekends. But we're not allowed under emergency orders to, ahead of the event, we have to wait till something hits us and then act. And that's very unfortunate. And to your point, Commissioner, I'd love to be able to close causeways. We've apologized on Monday a few times. Frankly, that's something we've done. And we may do it again, frankly. But I also appreciate Commissioner Rosenkranz's points that there's a lot of other things going on. This is a fairly constrained area. And frankly, I think we've constrained it in this order appropriately, not just simply to areas that we know have the inflammations, but also to the areas that might immediately have an impact when we address that. But I do think we've reached clarity on what we have to do. I don't think there's any question. I agree with what has been said that, frankly, optimism, hope, and luck are not plans. They're just not. We have to do something. And when I was there Saturday night, a few hours before the first shooting, and frankly, it felt like a tinder. It's a term I've used regularly to describe it. It felt like a tinder, but what was overwhelming to me was the number of police officers that were there. Not just ours, by the way. They have a whole plan. They layer police departments. So there's burglary, there's gang units, there's Metro, there's our guys, there's other folks there. There are guys in uniform and not in uniform. And they know this scene pretty well. But despite this incredible deployment of our police, literally in front of our police, shootings occur. And, you know, it's been said, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but frankly, five people getting shot could easily have been five people getting killed. And, you know, we'd still be having this meeting, but it would have a whole even more serious tenor. So we can't fight the last battle. We have to worry about the next one, and the next one could be even worse. So I have absolute clarity on this, that we have to do this. And I appreciate that there's a lot in the business community who have raised issues. This is going to affect them. It's going to impact them. But at the end of the day, you cannot balance public safety with revenue. It's just you can't do it. We can't worry that someone is going to have an impaired weekend financially when we have people getting shot. So when our police chief, based on all of the information he has, when our manager, based on all the information, and I believe them both to be incredible conscientious. I mean, the one thing about both these public officials is that they are incredibly conscientious, and they would not recommend something to us that they didn't think was important for us to do, and important for the most important thing we do, which is maintaining public order. So I think there's clarity here. I think this is something we need to do. And we're going to vote on it after this. But I will also say that, you know, we could be voting to give the manager 2 weekends because she can do this again. But I think unless you want to do it otherwise, I'll just bring this back and have to confirm it next week should we feel like we need to do it. I'm going to let our leaders, professional leaders, see what happens over the next weekend. I'm assuming we're about to approve this, hopefully unanimously, and that next week, if they want this again, we will convene and we will consider it again. But we'll have the most recent and up-to-date information. So the item has been moved and seconded. No, there's no public hearing. And with that, is there any objection to the order as amended? Okay, show it done unanimously. Thank you all very much for coming.